As I mentioned before, God had now begun, even the last time we were together on this passage, and then again here tonight, God had spoken through this angel of the Lord, capital A, and when it uses the term the angel of the Lord, generally we're speaking more than just an average angel. This offering was going to be offered up to this angel who would receive this offering, who no normal angel would ever do that, would receive an offering. And this angel did. So there's many reasons why we understand that this is more than just your run-of-the-mill angel. He had told Gideon the last time to go, to step out now, to go out and to redeem his people out of bondage of the Midianites. So God had sent forth, or Gideon had been sent forth by God now, and he was therefore under the power and the blessing by God. And we need to understand that when God asks us to do something, he is therefore empowering us to do it. When he tells us to go, he's going to back us. He's not throwing us out there and expecting us just to survive on our own. And now, in verse 15, Gideon now begins to do what untold thousands have done in similar, albeit personal situations for hundreds of years. He began, in verse 15, to whine and to complain and to excuse himself. He began to give all the reasons why he couldn't do what the angel, what the Lord himself was asking him to do. Now, we don't have a lot of history prior to this chapter. We don't have a lot of history on Gideon to really know more than what we're presented here in these few brief chapters. So what we don't have is we don't have a glimpse back into the days and the weeks and the months, if you will, which led up to this critical day, which the day that the Lord then found him there hiding in this wine vat, treading out the grain, trying to go undiscovered by the Midianites who kept coming into the territory and stealing all the crops and everything that that Israel had. So we don't understand, nor do we really know the details of all that was preparatory, all the miles, all the events which led up to this crucible. But however, I think being a mouse in the corner, if you will, that's now viewing the events that we are reading about here, we can see that God had, what he had done to Gideon, he also has done to countless individuals long before that, and even before that, all of us, that God came to us to call us to mission. And I believe in my heart tonight that if you're a born-again believer, that that's all of us. If you haven't felt that specific call to mission, call to a specific place within the body of Christ to serve him, to serve the kingdom of God, it is, I would believe, because you're yet green, and that's fine. You'll get there. God's laying a foundation in your life and growing you to the point where that day will come where you will have that meeting where God will call. Gideon now, when the Lord had come to Gideon, God had found him that day broken, really stripped of any self-confidence. Gideon wasn't living the life like he was the man. And I think that's very important because we're going to see a very different Gideon here very quickly. Just like we saw a very different Peter early in the book of Acts. A very different Peter than we saw just a few chapters in time-wise before that when Peter denied Christ three times before he went to the cross. Before the rooster crowed that morning, he denied Christ three times. But then in the book of Acts, we saw a very different man. Now, I hope that when we see these pictures presented in Scripture, and I have no doubt tonight that God saw to it that they were there for us to read 2,000 years later, because it is meant to be an encouragement to us to be able to look and go, you know what? I may not be the man or the woman that I hope to be one day, but oh, praise God, I am not the man or the woman that I used to be. God has brought me along through His Holy Spirit and through His guidance, through learning, through discernment, through accountability, through body life. All of these aspects has brought me along in my growth. Because let me tell you something, gang. That's why you're here. Jesus Christ saved you for something. And not just for eternal life with Him. He saved you for something. And you know I preach on this every chance I get, because with all my heart, I want you to know why you were born, why God selected you, why God found you and brought you to Him. And it's more than just warm in a seat in a pew. So Gideon at this point, he didn't have any cape. He wasn't a man of steel. He was just a broken man. Humbled. And small at this point. Hiding from the enemy. And really, more than that, hiding from his very calling. He apparently had come to the point where, as Paul said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. But now, meeting the Lord, Gideon was going to learn the last part of that same verse. 2 Corinthians 3:5 is where we read that. He's going to find out the second part of that, where it reads, our sufficiency is from God. And there is really no greater lesson that could be learned. It's a lesson that I'm still learning. It didn't come as a light switch. It didn't come as a dawning. You know, it has come as a growth and a maturing and a struggle and oftentimes a push and a pull. So while Gideon was going to now lean on his own shortcomings in verse 15 here, he was going to lean instead on his inadequacies. The angel of the Lord now is going to strip away all of his excuses. Because see, the one thing that Gideon was not prepared for, the one thing that he wasn't armed for, was the fact that his weaknesses didn't matter to God at all when God's got your back. Do you understand that tonight? See, you might be sitting there going, you know what? I have so many reasons, and you can begin to cite them to me. All the reasons why you cannot step up. Well, I got this issue. There's a financial issue. I got a marital issue. I'm a small person. I'm not good a speaker. Oh, you mean like Moses was not a good speaker? And all the reasons you might give, but you know what? They all get washed away when the Lord comes to you and says, but you know what? It doesn't matter because I got your back. I want you to lean on me. And I'll take you places you could never go on your own. I will speak through you. I will show you things that you would never see on your own. Now, some of you, you've begun now to reach out there in the confidence that God does have your back. Like perhaps you're just gearing up now, and in the next month or so, you're going to be leaving for the Philippines and you're going on a mission trip. You're going to the other side of this planet and you're going to be in some very challenging situations, and you're going to have to rely on God, because the closer you get to that date, the more you know that you are inadequate to fulfill what's being asked of you. And if you get on that plane with that understanding, I can't do this, but God's got my back, you're ready to go on that trip. And maybe that trip for you is to Mississippi on the domestic trip. And for many of us, that's a challenge inside of itself. And I tell you, I have never been more jealous on a domestic trip. I so wish I was with you guys on this trip. Because as you get near and I hear all the details of what's going to go on and all that's happening, I'm just pumped. I so wish I could be with you guys. And I know that if you've not traveled heavily, especially if you haven't been that far away from Wisconsin, or you haven't been south like that, let me tell you something. Mississippi is another country. Okay? Trust me on that. I mean, this isn't a trip to Minneapolis. I promise you on that one, okay? So while Gideon now was going to lean on all of his shortcomings, God was going to send his son in the form of an angel now to strip away all of those weaknesses. Because surely, he says, surely I will be with you. You know, it's hard to argue with that one, isn't it? So Gideon was now at the crossroads moment of his life. And you know what? There are some epic moments of your life of which you must never forget. It is critical that you do not forget those crossroad moments. And some of you, I know those stories. You've told me stories about how God has intervened supernaturally. There was personal parting of the Red Sea. There were moments where the walls of Jericho fell down. There were times where you took a step back and all you could just say is like, oh God, you are incredible. And it's so important, gang, that you do not forget those moments of your life. So God now was coming and he's saying, look, I've got your back. So at this point, this crossroad moment for Gideon, it was not a matter of I am able. The only question that was left was, will I? Will I? Because when God says, I got your back, I'll carry you, at that moment, everything is stripped away and there's only one question left. Will I? And no more excuses will stand. God has stripped away every issue, every excuse, except the one so many of us will eventually use. The excuse of, I won't. I won't. You see, the issue wasn't really Gideon at all at this point. It didn't matter who Gideon was. It only mattered who the angel of the Lord was. Because when it comes to a calling, gang, it's never a matter of who I am. It matters only who God is. And at that point, you have to decide, who is this God that I follow? How strong is he? How much mo does he got going here? How much sovereignty does he have? How much power does he have? It's a secondary issue as far as what my skills are or powers are. And listen, maybe you have to be in my shoes. Maybe you have to move to a pastorate somewhere and to know who you are. And I know who I am. And nobody is more surprised that I'm here than I am. And I have those epiphany moments. It just so happened this week that just a weird turn of events, and I looked up an old girlfriend of mine. I haven't talked with her for 30 years. I was dating her when I met Sharon, and Sharon came and knocked my feet out from underneath me. But I had a chance to give her a call and freaked her out. But she's a believer and always was, and Daddy was a pastor. I was doomed to marry a preacher's kid. And it was weird talking with her because I was seeing my life from the other side. And well, I've been a pastor for 20 years, and I had to stop and go, why? I've been a pastor for 20 years. I've been a pastor for 20 years. It was just this weird glimpse from the other side. How did that happen? How did that occur? You know, God. One of the greatest and the most essential issues to grasp in this matter of God's calling, of our answering God's calling, is all just, we have to be able to wrap our minds around the fact that not only can God, but God will. Yes, God can, but gang, God will. Now, that's not to say that I'm always going to know how he is going to act or what the ultimate outcome was. I mean, this was, believe me, I never thought this would happen. It's like, where are we going? I don't know. But certainly after 20 years, I'm far more faithful, far more trusting. Am I just 100% there? No, I don't know if I ever will be. I'd like to believe that coming that day. But you know what? He got us this far, didn't he? So when there's bumps in the roads, it's like God has covered every bump so far, every crisis so far. So what this is telling us here is that God, if he's in control, that he can handle what's up ahead. Again, I don't know what he's going to do. But it is saying that if God is in control, and if God is the supreme power in my life and in my calling, and as well as any of the events in all of that calling, then the ultimate outcome of my life will be absolutely according to his will and to his plan. I mean, is that enough for you today? Because truthfully, it's not for a lot of folks. It's not a matter of God, can God do this and will God do this, but I need to know what God's going to do and then I'll decide. And I can assure you right now that's not going to happen. I don't know that the only time I've ever known that to ever occur, except for a man that was blinded on the road to persecuting Christians. And the Lord said to his nursemaid there, I have shown him what he will endure for me. So I think if God's shown you anything, it's not pretty. I think back now when I started in this ministry, I wonder what I would have done had he showed me. I don't know. There's been blessings beyond words, beyond anything that I ever dreamed possible in my life. I'm just a small person, a nobody from Iowa. I never dreamed that I would be able to see and hear and touch and experience the things that I have in this life. However, when I started, I never dreamed that ministry could be so bloody. I never dreamed that pastors could hurt that bad or be hurt that bad. So I don't know what I would have done. But through it all, as I sit here before you tonight, I am confident, not of necessarily where we're going, but I am confident that the Lord's got my back. Gideon was just coming to that realization. You see, the angel of the Lord was willing. The angel of the Lord is willing. He will step up to the plate. He will intercede. He will empower for what he's calling. But Gideon still had to be willing just as much as you still have to be willing. So here in Gideon now, he asks for a confirmation as to the factual nature of all of this. Now, this can be done well, and this can be done poorly. So it's very important for us to understand what's happening here. We need to be careful that we don't go too far on this matter. Okay? Or fail to go far enough. And I think a lot of us like, Lord, you know, make the clock go backwards. Make something fly around the room, Lord. Then I'll know it's you. I don't know if God does that. I mean, if he does that, you best keep that to yourself, that happened. I don't know if you want to share that with anybody. But I do believe that God will confirm. I think, I don't want to be spiritually rude on this as I'm approaching God on this factor, but I don't want to get God's arm behind his back. I'm not trying to get God to cry uncle here. But the other side of this is I think that in our wisdom and in due caution, we can safely seek confirmation from God on a matter. In other words, you're in a situation where you think you got it, you think you know what to do, you think you know what he wants of you, but your heart lacks 100% assurance. Now, mind you, you're probably not going to have 100. I don't know that I've ever had 100% assurance of anything in life. But, I mean, you just still have a little bit of unrest. And so, is it okay? Is it okay to seek God, to ask God to confirm the matter? And I believe that if your heart is righteous, and I think a lot of times, even if it's not, I think God will confirm these things upon our request. He certainly has done that for me many times. See, gang, God is faithful. And he says in 2 Timothy 2:13 that he's faithful even when we're not. That's good to know. So now Gideon was in a situation where he knew he was going to have to put up or shut up. As I said, he's at that crossroads. But Gideon now, he wasn't coming to God just simply with his hands open wanting something. Gimme, gimme, gimme. He wasn't going to Santa Claus here. He knew who he was talking to. So in a time of great hardship, remember when Gideon was doing this, he was hiding in that wine vat, working the crops in there because he was trying to duck the marauders from coming and stealing all of his stuff again. So this was a very, very harsh time. There was not a lot of food to go around, and it was a time of drought, a time of great hardship. And look what Gideon does, because he's so committed to finding out the truth of this matter, he goes and he sacrifices an entire goat and a whole lot of flour to find out if this thing was truly happening. Now, I think there's going to be plenty of people, I'm sure there would have been plenty of people in Gideon's day, as well as now, who are in similar life situations that would have told Gideon he was nuts to give up what little he had to find this out. But might I remind you that 2,000 years later, we're reading about Gideon. Gideon. This is Gideon. But it all could have stopped right then. I don't really have that much food. I don't really have that much to offer. I don't really have that much to give to find this out. I don't know if I can take that kind of risk with my life. I don't know if I can really put forth that thing. You know, it's like, well, you know, I'd really like to do some missions work. I feel God's calling. I'd really like to step out there. Oh, I don't know if I got the talent. Oh, I don't know if I can get away from work. Oh, I don't know if I can get the money. Oh, I don't know if I can do all that stuff. Well, guess what? You'll never will and you'll never go. Gideon was saying, you know what? I don't have a lot. But I'm putting it out there because that's what life is for. It's not to have a big bank account. It's not to have comfort or a big house or a nice car or all of these amenities that you will leave them when you die. The only thing that's going to matter is what you did here and what you sent on ahead. And it's very important to me that some of them kids you saw in the video tonight, that I'm going to run into them on the streets of heaven. Or I could have bought a few more lattes at Starbucks. Do you understand? We need to realign what's important in our mind. And Christian, we must lead the way. And that's not a pitch to get your money. That's a pitch for you to reevaluate your life. And truly, what is a priority? And what is important? And how far are you willing to go to find out what God's ultimate destiny is for you in this life? See, Gideon needed to know. He had to know. People would have accused him of waste. But I would have accused him of worship. You know, and I guess that's just an aspect a lot of people don't get. So this meal now was accepted as an offering. It was received by this angel, capital A, quote unquote, which again would have been blasphemy to have received this had he been only a mere angel. So now fire comes forth and consumes the meal. Gideon has his confirmation. Now you're saying, well, you bet. I mean, I'd have my confirmation too. Listen, I dare say God wants to prove himself as real in your life too. But Gideon put himself out there. Are you putting yourself out there? Are you putting yourself back on your heels? Are you purposely putting yourself into situations where God, oh God, I must have you to come through for me. And you don't know if he will come through, if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all over again, or whether or how he's going to come through or what he's going to do. But you only live once. And we all know that saying. Now, I can't guarantee to you that if you, you know, stick your neck out there today, that God will confirm his will on your life or even on a certain issue that you're seeking him about, that God's going to confirm his will in this same spectacular fashion. Once again, if he does, again, keep that to yourself. If fire comes down and consumes your offering, don't say nothing to nobody. That's just between you and the master, okay? But you know what? I can't deny he won't either. God's done some crazy, crazy stuff. And you know what? He still is. And I still believe he will, and he still does. I've found that God so oftentimes comes to us in these moments of our life, these moments of true righteousness, true searching for God, and he will, you, when we are seeking to truly have him intervene, when we want him to glorify himself through our lives, and he will come, and he will come in power, and he will come in mystery, and he will come intimately to you, personally to you. But are you watching? Are you seeking? Are you patient? Are you waiting for him? Are you truly want to know his will and not yours? Or have you just tried to cram him into this little teeny box and put a ribbon on it and say, this is how God, this is how you must interact with me? Gideon did something here, and I believe it's so very important in these situations. He built himself an altar. Now, you say, what are you saying, Pastor? I need to go home, build myself an altar in my yard. The physical altar in this case, that's not the issue as much as what this means. You see, he built an altar in order to worship and to remember. And if you look through Scripture, that's what they were always building these altars for. To sacrifice, to worship, and to remember. And I say this is so important because, you know what? As I've already told you tonight, I have witnessed so many times so much miraculous communique of what I know that God has intervened in your life and the things that I know of. And I don't know all that God has intervened in your life, but I know so much miraculous communique that has come through from God in various individuals that are here in various situations. And you know, it's so oftentimes, many of us, we forget those events. Which, personally speaking, just as a man, I find astonishing. I have witnessed people just absolutely forgetting the parting of the Red Sea in their life. And because they ceased to revisit that moment of worship, and they ceased to revisit that event in their lives, that they ceased to worship God then in light of that event. See, some of you have had events in your life that for the rest of your life you should be going, and Lord, I just want to thank you again. I know it's been 1,000 times, but that thing back there, that was awesome. Thanks for letting me have that. And maybe it's a spouse or a child or a job or a missions adventure or this fellowship. And I hope it's this fellowship for all of you. And whatever it might be that you would remember them moments, because to me they're like yesterday. I have a picture on my wall as I enter my office. It's right there by the light switch. It's a picture of me baptizing members of the first church that we constructed in India from that church, baptizing those people, which I still was one of the greatest events of my life. That just the thought of it, to put me back there again, to remember that awesome day when God gave me the privilege of being on the other side of the planet, in a tribal area in one of the farthest reaches of the world, where I could join arms with people who I couldn't speak their language and they couldn't speak my language, but we had a language and we looked at each other and we smiled because we had the language of Jesus Christ. And that I was standing in a roaring river in the mountains, baptizing those people in a church that this fellowship financed the construction of. And I told the Lord that day, Lord, if you never gave me anything again as long as I live, I will never forget this. And then, you know what? But he's continued to give me those things. And I've continued to build altars of worship and altars of remembrance, as God has continued to take me down that road. I've had the privilege of being part of your life, some of you people's lives, when you were born. Watched you grow up. Married you to your spouse and dedicated your kid. Which is amazing, because I've only been here like 3 months. I'm sure of it. And that altar is built in my life. See, it can be surprisingly easy for many of us, though, to shelf those life-changing moments. And then we're like children, and we just move on to what's the next best thing, and we forget what God has done. Throughout Scripture, we see some individuals who were determined not to forget. And I note them. Those who threw down markers in their lives and they would revisit them occasionally so that they wouldn't forget. When they crossed that way again, quote unquote, they would come to that marker and they worshiped God for the event of that cause, as well as where that event and evidently, it finally took them. There's several buildings in this town that I smile at when I drive by. My old restaurant. I actually thought I was coming to town to open a restaurant. God thought that was funny. The old storefront church down on Main Street. Every day when I come to this church, I pass that, make that curve, I look over and I just smile. It's like, man, come a long way. I remember standing out there, and this will be a nice anniversary come Sunday, standing out there on Easter morning shooting a potato gun into the lake. Hoping the cops didn't come by. It's like, how many churches are doing that, right? But we thought potato guns were cool, and we'd shoot that thing out over the lake. And, you know, that's every church should do that on Easter. So, mile markers, memorials, altars of worship. Now, many others, though, have failed, and I think still fail, to remember their parting of the Red Sea. Sadly, they forget the miraculous, the love of that moment that they experienced, the personal nature of the cross, that life-changing aspect. One of the greatest things in the world is talking to an old saint. And on my way to track down the old girlfriend I mentioned, I had to first track down her mother, who answered her cell phone, and she's from Iowa, but she's running around Colorado. She's 89. She sounded like she was, you know, my age. "Of course I remember you," she said. Probably she's like, "And thank God you didn't marry my daughter." But I'm like, you know what? I want to finish like that. I want to finish like that. They have stories, don't they, old saints? See, if you've never had the privilege of just being able to sit and talk to Bill Shade, that he has stories. Just great stories of the great things God did. And he just talks like God's his best friend. And he shares a room with him. And he's just right there. And it's like, "Me and Jesus. Let me tell you about the one time me and Jesus did." And I guess I'm amazed at how some of us can forget so easily. One of the most astounding things that I've ever experienced in my years of ministry, that I have seen people walk away from 10, 15 years of life, events, and people that they were a part of, and they did so because they failed to remember what God did during that time. They just, he erased it all. It was like a dream. The people, the events, the miles, the joys, the sounds, gone. They threw it away because they forgot. You know, my wife will attest to this. I rail on this because truly, truly, it's one of the most astonishing things. Just me personally as a man, there's not a day that goes by that I'm like, "How do you do that?" Because let me make it clear to you guys. On the days when I'm not so good at listening to Jesus, the days that I don't want to do this anymore, the days that I am upset, I am angry, I am depressed, I don't want it, I don't like you people anymore. On those days, you know what? There's only one thing that keeps me here. But I have to see the end of the movie. Well, how can I erase all of you? See, it's too late. You've spoken into my life. You've made me what I am. I cannot erase 20 years of my life. I will not erase 20 years of my life. And that gets me over the hump till the next day. It's like, "Oh, I remember, Lord. Sorry." And I'm back. Now it was Gideon's turn. Now it was Gideon's turn to come out of that worshipful situation and decide, how will this affect my life? Will it be a cool story he'll tell his friends? Or will this profoundly affect him? Because now, you know how you know somebody remembers? They respond. See, the cool thing is, like, "I remember the parting of the Red Sea. I remember what you did. And I will not wander in the wilderness for 40 years. I will cross over that river Jordan. And I will take my personal promised land. Because I know you are with me, Lord. Because I saw it. I saw it at the Red Sea. I saw it back in Egypt. I saw it at the river Jordan. I saw it at the walls of Jericho. And I see it now. And I will not turn my back." God responds to us in such matters, gang, not merely, you know, as an emotional relief or a supernatural wow. You know, he's not giving us a high five here. He does so because he actually expects us to move according to truth and power. That's our response of worship. That's what God wants back from us. Well, see, "Well, Lord, can I write you a check?" No, I want you. Well, Lord, listen, I will go to church every Sunday now, okay? No, no, that's fine. I want you. Well, can't I serve in the coffee house? That's fine. That's fine. But I want you. So now Gideon was going to get his first assignment. So Gideon, now he had this kind of supernatural private moment with the Almighty. But now it was time to go public. And that's another sign that people remember. That's another sign that you know people understand what happened. Because they're going to go public. Because let me tell you, gang, if you get anything tonight, understand this. Private commitments must produce public discipleship. That's the way it goes down. There are no secret Christians. The dynamic and the very innate elements of Christianity demand it goes public. This was Gideon's coming out party. Now he's going to have to cross a line of which there would be no return. You ever cross any of those lines in your life? Yeah, there won't be no going back after this. Because let me tell you something, there are many events in your life that you ain't going back. You will never experience life as you did before. Your old life is gone. So you need to figure out where God's taking you, because there is no back. And God wants to bless you, and God wants to take you on to that great life he has. And you need to take a deep breath, because God is not surprised that you are where you are. God's not like, let's see, I'm going to have to get into plan B or plan C here, because this really wasn't what I was expecting. So let's see, what do we do with him now? This man who had been weak and discouraged and defeated now was going to step up to the plate. He was profoundly a changed man because of the events that had transpired. And you know what? That's what happens to a man who's had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. He can take the most defeated and discouraged and broken and sinful individual and turn you into a useful, successful, victorious warrior for Jesus Christ. Read the Bible. That's his people. From Genesis to Revelation, that's his people. He likes the weak things, because when he takes the weak things and makes them strong, he gets the glory. Now, the first thing that Gideon was going to have to do here. You ready for this? Is face down his family. I think many of us have been there. Specifically, many of us can relate to this. Others of you have been avoiding it. Try to play the middle ground. You know, soft pedal our position. But Gideon is going to throw down in such a big way. He's going to take a risk here of losing his relationship with his family for the rest of his life. Let me tell you something, that concept is not rare, it's not unusual. In fact, Jesus warned us. Matthew 19:29 says, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake." It takes your breath away, doesn't it? But let's read on. "Shall receive 100-fold in return." You go, well, of course, you know, in heaven. No, in this life. in this life. Matthew 10:37-38 says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." "He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." "He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Now, Gideon's family was clearly here not right with God. They had a altar to the false god Baal and an Ashtoreth pole in their backyard. You can look it all up if you want to know more about all that. So now God was asking Gideon here to make things right, to make his new position very clear to his family. Gideon had to clean up his own backyard, so to speak, literally and symbolically. And he had to do that before he could reach out beyond his world to bigger fish. And I think we would be very well to note that factor tonight, gang, because so oftentimes there are many of us that cannot understand why God is not using us for bigger things to a greater degree. And you know why? Because their home front needs attention. Their marriage, their greater family, their finances, their children, their relationships with their vocation, whatever it might be. God is saying, "I need you to clean up your backyard before we go and deal with other people and other countries and bigger things." We're required, according to Luke 19, to be faithful in the little things before we are therefore entrusted with the bigger issues of ministry. Now, the Midianites were the problem here. They were the plague that controlled the land of Israel. But there needed to be a little house cleaning for Gideon here before he got to deal with the Midianites. Baal had to go before the Midianites were going to go. False god. And I know it's always easy to keep looking out there for the work of the Lord when often it's waiting for you to take care of business a little closer to home. Maybe with all this talk about the Philippines and, you know, and the apps are coming out here for 15 and you know, you're thinking about that and it's like, oh, you know, take a step back. Because I see both. I see people, oh, I want to go. And I keep hearing it. And it's like these same issues every year which keep coming around, but you're not cleaning up your backyard. You're not dealing with the home front. Now, some of you may be sitting there going, yeah, that's why I can't go. I need to take care of around things at home. And then you're in the opposite camp. You're just a chicken. And you're just looking for reasons not to get on that plane and fly to the other side of the world. Which, you know, makes my blood run. Woo! Some of you are like, oh, no. That would mean I'd have to leave Dunn County. You know. Some of you won't even go to Minneapolis. I'm like, oh, God, get out of here, you know. It's like, you mean there's a bridge I can cross the river? Yes. So we need to put our house in order. Now, I know, again, many individuals who reject this premise, and they are essentially benched. Okay. And really, you're going to be benched for the remainder of the game if you don't deal with this. Because if you aren't willing to do the hard thing when it comes to your life and your family and your self-discipline and whatever's in your backyard, you're never going to know victory in the larger life. Because it must start with allowing Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life. Lord of your life, not just Savior of your life, Lord of your life. And the fact is, some of you have Baals in your life. Okay? And you really need to cut it down. There's false gods. And that isn't an issue of tolerating it or covering it up or I just won't pay as much attention to it or all the marginal things we like to do. We need to kill it. Gideon was told to get two ox, tie it to this altar, and jerk it down. That's dramatic. See, you know what? You may think these issues are private. And I have no doubt as I speak, many of you are thinking now about these issues in your life that I'm referring to. And they are private. And you believe that nobody knows what they are, and you may very well be right. However, I will tell you this. We may not know what the issues are. They may be unseen by your friends in the community. But the results of a false god in your backyard is seen by everybody. See, I can see where you are. I can see it in you. In passion or lack thereof, commitment or lack thereof, love of Christ or the lack thereof, desire to serve him or the lack thereof, love of community, the lack thereof. You understand, all I have to do is just look at that, and I know whether you have a false god in your backyard. I can see what's going on. This is, I don't have to be like this, you know, Holy Spirit discernment. No, this is just easy common sense. And let me tell you something, I'm not the only one who sees it. I may be the only one that's preaching it to you, but everybody sees it. And I wonder how many tonight are stalled. You're spinning your wheels, going nowhere fast. I want you to ask yourself, has God done his part? Has there been some miraculous events in your life? Has there been some parting of the Red Sea? Has there been times in your life where you just went, that, oh God, that's awesome. Because I believe for every born-again individual, he will seek to intervene in your life that way. There's been those moments. God has done his part. Now the question is, are you ready to do yours? For God is intervening in your life with a desire, the hopes that you will step out and live large in his glory. Now, I need to close with one thing. Please note that the final verses there of the text today definitely tells us that Gideon was afraid. I need to put your heart at rest. You say, I am afraid, Pastor. It's okay, man. This is Gideon, and Gideon was afraid. Do you think that I, as a pastor, am not afraid? It's okay. I think many times in our life, we will be afraid. But we still have to take a deep breath and jump. You ever been in that situation? I remember the first time I got on a motorcycle. You guys remember, those of you that ride, know that? That's scary. Because it seems so heavy when you're just sitting there, right? It's like, oh, I don't know. I could die on this thing, you know? The first time I stepped out in the mission world, first time I ever preached a message. You know, all these events in your life. And I think how afraid I was. But there was that deep breath. There was the jump. And there was the trusting God for the outcome. See, you know what matters tonight? Do you believe God has got your back? And if you do believe that, then there is nothing that can touch you. There is nothing that can hurt you. There is nothing that can steal you out of his hand. So often he has clearly told us what he wants us to do. How many of us tonight are simply too afraid or too comfortable to do it? The Bible tells us that the calling of God is irrevocable. Do you understand what that means tonight? It means, one, what he designed you for, he designed you for, he designed you for. Period. What he's called you to, he is calling you to, and he will continue to call you to. You are not just happenstance. You are not just another person. God predestined you. You were made for something. And you see, there's no greater search in your life. Lord, what is it? Now, there won't be no telegrams. There will be no emails. This knowledge comes gnosko. This knowledge comes through experience. And you step out there and you go, and I've done things. I've done things like, how about this? No, that was really bad. Definitely, Pastor Tim was not created to be a youth leader. Okay, tried that. No. But I think about, and I've shared this, and I close with this. Sometimes I am amazed at how God uniquely called and brought me here. I mean, for the first years of me and Sharon's life, we were really gypsies. We were living everywhere. Oklahoma, Oregon, Nebraska, in like three different places, Minneapolis, several places in Minnesota, Arkansas, Minnesota again. And I just can't imagine when I finally drove into Menominee, Wisconsin, God was like, oh, man, that was a long haul to get that guy here. Whew. And they was like, all right, good, let's get it on now. Because God has a destiny. God has a plan. I'm so thankful that I can sit here with you tonight, guys, and say I am absolutely positive I am supposed to be sitting right here tonight. I know that. I want you to know that about what God's called you to also. Will it be hard? Absolutely, positively. Harder than anything you've ever done. Come on, you know the motto. It's worth doing, right? It's going to cost you some pain. You got to be really patient? Oh, yes, because it ain't going to happen fast. Oh, our God is painfully slow. Going to test your patience? Oh, yes. Going to be some times you're going to want to quit? Going to want to walk away? Many do. Many, you know people who did. They're out, they're out. They were on the path, and one day it's like, that's it. No more. It's all. And you know, I watch, I go away, and you know, they just do nothing. Nothing for the rest of their lives. They're just sitting out there doing nothing now. God has a plan. You guys, find that plan. If Gideon can do it, so can you. Let's stand.